Bottom line, hey, yeah, that means they take over all the.
Let me convene the Transportation Committee for Monday, November 30th. It's good to see everybody here. It is past 1:30. Our agenda has been published. Item number two is approval of the minutes from our October 5th meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Public comments. Item number three. If you'd like to make a public comment, please come forward, give your name and address, and you have 2 minutes. Anyone here for public comment?
We have one.
Okay. No?
Say no, I don't know why.
We're here for the Patchen's Lane.
You would speak now, yes. This is the time to speak. Right, thank you.
Hi, Jim Berg, BERG 402 Patchen's Lane. I am here to represent the four property owners. We have an agenda item coming up, and we are interested in having you essentially deed over the property, the right-of-way to us. We know it's been a long, contentious battle here associated with the parking, with the Earl's Court development. We expect the parking situation will actually become worse than it is now. Not only during the construction period, where we might see maybe dozens of trucks that need parking spaces in our immediate area, but also after construction, when there are they're using lifts. We suspect that. Rather than try to use lifts, that most people that are not from around here or from around here will say, well, let's just park on the street. Ours is the most convenient street. We have congestion already, a great deal of congestion, and so we're kind of respectfully asking that you would cede that over to us so at least we'd have some control over our own kind of a parking situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, please.
Good afternoon. Pamela Juan Goldman, 704 Gatepost Drive. At the last transportation meeting, I spoke during public comment about Long Point Road, and I wanted to give you a quick update on that situation. I spoke with Michael Black at Division 6 at SCDOT. He is under the impression that section of the road is a potential long-term project with consideration for a road widening or leveling to add elevation, including guardrails. We are due to speak again in mid-December, where he said he would update me on his findings. I also spoke with the new director of transportation at CCSD, Mr. James Lynch, a few weeks back, who was very interested in the state of the road in terms of bus safety. Our conversation prompted him to ask for a safety assessment of this area, which was conducted by Corporal Devers, who works for the State Department of Education, and as part of his duty, provide safety assessments of bus stops and routes for SCDOE. According to Corporal Devers, he felt that buses should be routed away from this area during high tide and flooding conditions. Corporal Devers also indicated that he was going to follow up with SCDOT. With concerns for all drivers, especially young ones and buses who use this road, I ask the Transportation Department to please keep this road top of mind in upcoming conversations with SCDOT. It is very clear that this road is in need of an upgrade and that perhaps the stars are beginning to align to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Anyone else for public comment? No one? All right, seeing none, we will move forward to item number four, which is an update on the Maritime Port District transportation improvements, including the meeting that I know our staff had with the property owners in Hopcaw Creek neighborhood over there. I guess that's Terry.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. We're ready for this. And Brad, are you there? You want to go forward? I can do it if you're not.
Yes, I'll be happy to give an update if y'all are ready.
We are.
Okay. So, Mayor, this is an update on the Maritime Port District study. If you recall, in August, we presented some information where, based on a public information meeting, we were particularly interested in feedback from the Hopcaw folks on their entrance and what type of lanage improvement we could get in there. They opted for a three-lane approach versus the two-lane, so that does add more capacity. The caveat there at that time would be that we knew there would be some impacts potentially to their entrance sign in the median, and we felt that we could work those things out with the HOA as far as getting the detailed design. basically where we could move away from that sign entrance a little bit more into their median. We had a meeting in September with the HOA at Town Hall to discuss our options there. We landed on a few ideas. We met in the field, our staff met in the field with their representation, and really the resolution appears to be attainable. And that would be one aspect that we're going to add to the project is a sidewalk along Hobcaw Creek, Hobcaw Bluff Drive, and that's a, roughly about 1,000 feet. Now, the first slide that hopefully you're looking at now shows the three-lane approach with just very conceptually a proposed five-lane sidewalk that basically reaches on the other side of their sign and then comes into their property, and all that over there is actually right of way. So we feel we have plenty of room to do this and work that sidewalk along that roadway all the way to their amenity center, which is roughly 1,000 feet. Staff is needing to get additional survey to actually do that design of that sidewalk. That's what we're in the process of doing. So as a matter of follow-up, we would complete a really a concept level design, a slightly, you know, maybe 30% engineered that we can take back to the group, to the HOA, and say, hey, this is what we talked about. Is this acceptable? And at that point, hopefully we'll have sign off and we'll finish the design plans. And currently the roadway, the project is scheduled for a June construction. The second slide is simply, if Eric shows that next, is really an aerial showing the length and the scope of that sidewalk, which is roughly 1,000 feet. So that's just a brief update, Mayor and Committee, okay. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Is the whole project scheduled for June, meaning the three-lane road and the five-foot sidewalk?
Yes, sir. Okay. That's really the intersection project itself, which is also improvements on the other side of the intersection, Iwanda Park. And the three-lane approach on Hobcaw Bluff Drive, as well as the sidewalk. Yes, sir.
Okay. Can we go back one slide? There we go. And for the members of the committee, if you see, if you're looking from the left, if you look at the middle, what the neighborhood is concerned about is those are landscaped and masonry-type signs as you go in, and they just didn't want to have the entrance to Hobcaw Bluff denuded in that way. And they have that median in the middle. And I think, Brad, you worked with them to minimize the amount of that median that will be lost when that third lane is added as you come out, right?
Yes, sir, we did. And in addition to that, we will work with them on a landscape plan, and they actually have already talked to a local engineering firm that we could run the plans through for their review also. So we're coordinating all that for a landscape plan to also go in with the project.
All right, thank you. Committee members, any questions or observations? Yes,
sir, Ms. Chapman. I have two. Number one, Brad, that's already a signalized intersection, isn't that correct?
Yes, sir, and the plan is to upgrade it to mast arms from its current condition.
Okay. The second point is, I guess, a little bit controversial for the Hobcaw Creek people, but there was a road going to Lone Tree. That's been removed, has it not?
Yes, sir. That's not a part of the project. In fact, the committee directed staff, with the additional funds that were recently brought to this area, we're not pursuing that project. We're actually pursuing another project on Long Point, which is adding a lane from that from the lane coming off the interstate ramp all the way down to Lone Tree. I'm sorry, not to Lone Tree, but Shipping Lane.
Okay, good. I'm just thinking about that new assisted living area that I would expect's got a lot of traffic coming out of it now, plus those doctor's offices, and I'm not sure what we can do to help that, but I would expect once we do this at Hobcaw Bluff, road or drive, we might be getting some comments from those people.
Anyone else? Thank you, Brad.
Yes, sir.
Item number five is discussion and possible action regarding a request from Patriots Point Development Authority to abandon a portion of Patriots Point Road right-of-way. I think Patriots Point is here as well.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to take over at this point?
Well, I think Brad's prepared for that, too. We have an aerial that we can show you and a little bit of the background.
All right.
And certainly the reps, if you're okay with that,
sure,
can fill in where necessary.
Sure. Okay. Brad?
Yes, sir. So I attached in your agenda, you can see the request letter October 26th this year from the PPDA making this request of what I'll call excess right-of-way. And you can see that on the graphic that we provided here. On the left is Charleston County GIS, which shows the tax map parcels. And then on the right is actually a proposed plat prepared by the authority to define the area that is essentially excess that is being requested to be abandoned. And I've tried to approximate, you can see some red dots on the one on the right, I've tried to approximate that on the county's GIS on the left just to match the two. So this area encompasses a portion of the old road right-of-way for Patriots Point, as well as their entrance that we reconstructed in the early 2000s when we widened the road. And at that point in time, we probably could have realized that that was excess, and the only reason we really needed it was to do the construction portion and redo the entrance to the museum. So we don't, at this point, we see it as excess right-of-way as far as staff goes, and we don't really need to retain this area. And, you know, for that reason, there's no public use, I guess is what I'm saying, for that area. And then I guess there's just some question on the abandonment process, and I'm going to let David go into that a little bit.
All right. Before we get into the technicalities, is that Bob over there? Bob Howard, if you would just tell us a little bit about why Patriots Point is making this request, and it will also affect your upcoming meeting as well.
I'm Bob Howard. I'm the property manager for Patriots Point. We have been talking for quite some time with a group that's interested in building a Medal of Honor museum on our property. And this area of our property is the area they're particularly interested in. We've not signed anything. At this point, we have an option, an agreement that gives them the option if we can negotiate all the terms. So in the course of that work, we surveyed this land, and when we surveyed it, we discovered this sliver of property here that was kind of hanging out in limbo for the construction that the Medal of Honor group wants to do. This piece of land is necessary to them as well. So we approaching the town to ask you to quit claim it or deed it back to us so that we in turn can proceed with the negotiations.
Do any members have a question of Patriots Point? No? Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So let's hear a little bit about the legalities of how we would do that. I want to make sure I heard correctly that staff has determined there is no public use for this. In other words, it is excess. Howard, I'm sure with your background, you're probably more familiar with that than any of us, but we would not be compromising traffic flow or road construction or design in any way by giving this up. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pagliarini, if you'd tell us a little bit about the process.
Yes, Mayor, thank you, and good afternoon. On the next item, I have a slide presentation that goes through the state law requirements. However, if this is determined to be excess, not usable right-of-way, meaning excess land, as Mr. Morrison said it is, and there is only one property owner that abuts this area, it does not appear that we would have to go through the formal state process. And as long as those conditions are met, which I believe they are, then deed would be appropriate, and that would require two readings by council.
Thank you very much. Any questions, council? None?
Pretty clear.
Mayor, I move for approval.
All right.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the request from Patriots Point to abandon a portion of Patriots Point Road right away. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. So this, will we be able to have first reading this coming Tuesday?
We plan to, sir. If there's something that comes up that doesn't allow it, we'll let you know right away.
Okay.
Okay.
So thank you all for coming. I'm glad we could accommodate that and don't foresee any problem. Thank you very much. Item number six is discussion and possible action regarding request from the property owners to abandon Pageant's Lane right away. This is another legal issue. After that is item number seven, an executive session to receive legal advice. So first, let's get an overview of this.
Yes, sir. I'll be happy to do that. And once again, there is a letter that was attached to your agenda that shows the formal request. This is a request for actual right-of-way. It's not excess right-of-way. It actually contains the roadbed and all the infrastructure required to provide access via a road. And David can get into as far as the request potentially needing to go through the state statute process for abandonment. You've heard some folks from Pageant's Lane. They're making the request. It does serve four properties at this point, and it is near the intersection. If you're looking at the first slide, and I'll pull it up so I'm looking at the same thing. The intersection of Wilden Street and Hibben Street, and once again, this is a right-of-way. It's really a policy decision at this point whether you'd want to abandon the right-of-way, because, I mean, it does contain the roadway itself, but then once it is abandoned, if it were to be abandoned, it's roughly 4,000 square feet, then at that point it would become private, and then no public money would be available for any improvements in that area. So it's pretty straightforward request from our standpoint. I know David may want to say a few things regarding the process itself.
Yes, and can I just get clarification that it would be everything that is public, the call it the cul-de-sac and the drive, the access to Wilden Street. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I tried to depict that in that blue shaded area there, but that encompasses both, you know, all the pavement and curbing and that such, and we would make the delineation at the exact as a straight line across the existing frontage, which is parallel to Wilden Street.
Okay, and just for the record, is there any drainage infrastructure involved?
There's obviously drainage infrastructure in there. You know, exactly how it ties in, I'm not sure of that at this point in time.
Okay.
But if it outfalls into the system at Wilden, it would continue to do that unless they decided to make a change, in which they'd have to get a permit to make that change from the state.
Okay, thank you. All right, any questions on that?
So they're assuming full and complete responsibility for that piece of...
Good question. I guess legally that means they are completely responsible for it. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the procedure for this is different since there are multiple homeowners. And Mr. Pagliarini is prepared to walk through that one too if you'd like to hear that.
Good question. And to follow up your question, that means that nothing associated with that, there's nothing that can come back to the town. In other words, once it's the private owners, it's theirs. They can't say, well, this drainage should have been fixed before, something like that.
That's right, sir.
It's not like when you sell a house, I guess, when they can come back on the seller. Okay.
Yeah.
And we feel like the homeowners understand that, like, just to be transparent, they understand all the legalities of what could come up with this.
Ms. Corley, I think that's a question for them. What I gleaned when reading the letter was that was understood.
Okay.
But you're right, that's a they would be undertaking a pretty serious, you know, future liability.
And if the road, see, we had a sink, something horrible happens, right? Like a sinkhole or something? I guess that's a good question for David. Like, what would be our responsibility or something like that? Anyway, I just have a lot of questions.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Lanning.
I also have a question, and that in regards,
How exactly would the homeowners be preventing people from coming on the street? Just some signage, or would you have some sort of a blockage across it? Am I allowed to ask?
Come up and identify yourself.
Our initial thought was perhaps if we could get permission from the Preservation Commission is to have maybe like a couple brick columns or something like that, kind of a symbolic entrance, which might have some signage that would say private parking or something along those lines. We have not discussed the idea or said, oh, well, let's put up a gate or something like that. I mean, it's come up, but the idea initially is, well, why don't we just put up a sign that says, private street or private drive or something like that, which we have seen in other places in the old village as well.
Thank you.
Can I ask him a question?
Sure.
Yeah. Are you guys so you're not your own HOA, you're just four homeowners?
We jokingly call ourselves an HOA, but no, we're just, four neighbors. Yeah.
All right, so you guys could tow people?
Conceivably. I mean, it would be private property that one of the homeowners has a friend who is an attorney, and so we're going to work with that attorney to set up what would actually be the structure of the ownership. Should we form an HOA or not? We don't know. Okay. When it comes to liability, God forbid someone get run over in that. So we need some kind of protection. So we want to go through the process to make sure that that we have those protections in place. We did have a question about the storm drainage, as to who would continue to own that. Would be the town or us? And we're prepared if it's us, for the maintenance of that, but and also the roadway itself. But that was an open question. Is that what about the storm drainage? But whichever way that turns out, we'll take care of it. But no official home HOA, excuse me, at this point. But we are going to work with the attorney to find out, is that the best way to actually own this or not?
Okay. And is it unanimous of the four property owners?
Yes, and I do want to point out,
including spouse to spouse, or should I not ask that question?
That the when we signed the letter, Ben Latimer, who was the owner of 403 next to us on the left side, that the he has since sold the property, and then the current owner is an Adam Roach, and he's on board as well. So that everyone's on board. Thank you.
Yes.
So I have a follow-up then to maybe Mr. Jamore might be able to help us with this. What, since we had already in the Earl's Court property situation, we had already made provision to make sure they couldn't just go wherever, and they had the parking on with the lift and all that kind of thing. So was the town not, weren't we going to have something or some sort of signage that they're not supposed to be parking there, or no?
No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. But it was, you're correct, that part of that agreement was that they would maintain the parking on their property, or at least not have it mm-hmm. the property in question. In fact, that's the reason for the executive session. If you and members of the committee may want to go into executive session to make sure, hearing it from the attorney, that this move would in no way conflict with any provision of that settlement. That might be something you want to talk about.
Thank you.
Are we at the point now where we should go into executive session in terms of, was the next legal thing going to be wrapped in legal advice that's privileged, I guess?
I think, Mr. Hey, David, if
yes.
It's okay with you, Mr. Mayor, could you review, while this one is a little more difficult as far as abandoning the right of way and what perhaps the citizens would have to do?
Yeah. Yes, the process I think is important, and that would be a public discussion.
Yep.
Cool. Well, yes. Well, let's hear the process. Thank you.
And Mayor, I'd ask our IT, we do have a very brief slide presentation entitled Road Abandonment Process.
We're seeing it.
And if that's on the board.
It is.
It was right after the Patriots Point presentation. There were three slides.
We've got it.
Okay. Mayor, committee, go ahead.
No, go ahead, David.
Mayor and committee, the overview of this is that there is an abandonment procedure provided in state law, and that's 57-910 and 20. And it does require the interested parties to petition the South Carolina court, the circuit court, to formally approve and declare the abandonment and closure. So in most circumstances, this is done by the requesting parties. And if you go to the next slide, there are a few items of importance here that just a party has to provide notice and a petition to the court. There's a publication requirement. They have to provide actual notice to all persons affected by the abandonment. There are postings and the like required. There needs to be visual postings. And the court ultimately decides whether the abandonment is in the best interest of all of the parties and will ultimately determine how the title is handled. Typically, the petitioning party will come up with a plan, some sort of joint maintenance and use agreement, some insurance requirements, some financial obligations that the court would require before they take title to the property. So it is a fairly involved process. The court may require that a survey is performed and may require some studies, I say studies, some assurances that the drainage system is continually operated and that there is no danger to the requesting parties or the neighbors. And certainly we would cooperate. I would think the first thing we'd want to do is meet with their attorney, at least to go through the procedure and process and make certain that they're aware of the requirements.
Understood. So in light of this part of the legal discussion, we would not have to be concerned about deeding who we deed the property to. That would basically be decided by a judge, correct?
Absolutely, Mayor. Okay. The idea is that everyone has to be provided notice and court has to issue a finding that everyone has been properly noticed and understands all of the issues. And it does parenthetically provide a layer of protection to the town.
Okay. Questions, committee?
That makes more sense now.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mayor, I don't know about my fellow committee members. I don't think there's any reason for us to go into executive session because there's no action for us to take yet. So I think until that's done, this is preliminary and there's no action for us to take at this time.
Well, what happens next?
Good question.
This is it right here. This is it right here. They got to petition the court.
And they don't need anything from us?
Not right now. I mean, it's, I suppose, to save the residents money, if this committee was just simply not interested in doing something like this, then that would have to be said.
Okay.
I think at that point, they would have less of a chance in front of the court. But it doesn't appear to be the case.
Yeah.
Does the committee want to offer some feedback on that?
I just think it's preliminary. I think there's no action for us to take at this time.
Ms. Lane?
I'm certainly understanding of the need and the reason for the request. My only concern is the unintended consequences that we wouldn't necessarily be aware of your long-term responsibility and liability to that street, and what could possibly come up down the road that the town might say, well, gee, we kind of need to be able to do this, this and this for the sake of the surrounding area, but now we can't because it's private property. I don't know. Maybe that's not important now, but it sounds like this is quite a lot for you to go through. So is there a reason that we should look at a couple of those possible, to know what we don't know? Because right now there's probably a lot we don't know.
It's an excellent point. We've examined that as a staff to see if there were any, as far as we can tell going forward, anything that would be a detriment to the community, especially over the long term, and we have not been able to come up with anything.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mr. Pagliarini, unless you have a burning legal issue that you think we need to hear from you in executive session, does it sound all right to you that we just not go to that link tonight? We don't hear any objection from staff or from this committee to the citizens proceeding with this to file with the circuit court.
I would agree with that, Mayor. I don't have any legal advice at this point, but would extend an invitation to the requesting party's legal counsel to contact us and set up some time to talk about it. And we're available anytime.
Great. Thank you. All right. So that would conclude section six, item six, item seven, and of course, item eight, since there is no executive session on that. That would bring us to item number nine, which is an update on some ongoing projects. And as we all know, with all the projects going on, we could be here all afternoon, but we will hear the highlights on, I think, the ones that are at critical junctures or that are getting lovely progress. I've been out in Park West a good bit over the last month, and there's a lot of progress going on Park West Boulevard. It's fantastic to see. Staff?
Brad?
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to cover, kind of like you said, Mayor, just the highlights of our larger projects. Patriots Point Gateway, that project is right away has already begun the acquisition process. And in fact, Waterworks has already designed and let for a contract to start their relocations at that intersection, and they're supposed to start this month. So really, in essence, that project has begun. And once their relocations are done, we'll be following through our process of finalizing all the design permitting and procurement process to come in right behind to start with our contractor on the roadway work. So that's good news as far as our time frames go. Billy Swales Boulevard,
before you leave
the documentation, once again,
Brad,
that's
federal
funding. And that, yes, sir.
Ms. Chapman has a question.
Well, Brad, what are the limits of the Patriots Point Gateway intersection improvement? There you go. That's what I was looking for.
Yes, sir. I've got a guess in footage, but essentially from if you're coming from, let's say you're coming from Houston Northcutt towards the intersection on Coleman, it's roughly at Bayview Drive there where that median starts up to the intersection on McGrath, Darby, and go ahead. Yes, sir.
Keep going, Brad.
Keep going.
Okay, I'm sorry. On McGrath and Patriots Point, it's roughly 400 to 600 feet, depending on which which approach away from the intersection will be the improvements, and then probably 400 to 500 feet on the approach coming from the bridge. So it's fairly extensive in the fact that it's touching a lot of parcels of right away in a short area, and it does have some fairly extensive waterworks relocations in it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Proceed.
Yes, sir. On Billy Swales, once again, the federal fund, NEPA documentation, permitting is submitted. There is a I won't call it a special process, but it's called out for any Section 4F properties, which is park and rec lands, for a special review. We're hoping that some upfront work we've done on that will facilitate that review so we can get our permits and proceed on through right-of-way acquisition has already started also, and get to our construction dates as we anticipated before. Long Point Road Connector in the same area. Wetlands permittings have been submitted. There is no federal funding in that project. Right-of-way has begun on that, and once again, we're anticipating summer for construction of that project. And Paul is working out some very detailed schedules on both of those, since those are kind of our Manhattan project type as far as urgency goes. And in fact, last month, we gave some information kind of on the history of those projects and how we've been moving as expeditiously as possible. And then, Mayor, you mentioned this, Park West Boulevard. That is getting close. It initially had a February date, which I think they'll hit as far as getting the portion from the roundabout at Queens Gate up to the rec center completely done. We had a few delays with rain and AT&T relocations. They'll be shortly behind. You can see they've already started prepping for paving on the rest of the project along Park West Boulevard back to the roundabout at Bessemer. So good progress there. And, you know, we're hoping to wrap that up, like say, in the March timeframe as far as the schedule goes. So that's it as far as the significant projects, Mayor.
Could I ask a question about the Park West Boulevard?
Yes, sir.
That, beyond the circle on Park West Boulevard to Bessemer, what do you anticipate the schedule for that widening to be?
I don't have that specific piece, but I do know that, like I said, we're trying to get the entire project done by March at this point. They had rain delays.
March, sorry, 2021?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. They've had rain delays and, like I said, AT&T about 8 weeks trying to find fiber for a relocation that the contractor can't be responsible for. But he's still trying to meet his initial schedule. He's just staging it a little bit differently at this point, Mr. Chapman, based upon those delays.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate it, and it's great to see this project. Yes, sir. Ms. Chapman, one more.
Brad, you know I've been calling you about Mathis Ferry and Von Kalnitz. Do we have any update on that contractor and his discussions with the hospital?
I don't have an update other than what I sent you last time, Mr. Chapman, which I believe they had at that point in time. It was roughly 6 to 8 weeks to completion.
But as far as you know, they have not been given approval for their request to the hospital for additional services. Is that correct?
Well, since that's correct. I'm not aware of any change in that. That's really between the contractor and the hospital. This was private development work that, once again, the town unfortunately did not have control of the schedule.
Yeah, but the town mandated the project.
It was an impact assessment, required impact assessment approval. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And Mayor, I'd like to request that the contact be made with East Cooper Hospital to help expedite that work. That project's been underway for over a year.
Sure.
And it should have been finished a long time ago. So I'd just like to make a request of, I guess, staff to make that contact with East Cooper Hospital to please help expedite getting that done, because we've also got a sidewalk that goes in there with that to help that school. So the delays by that contract is impacting our placement of a sidewalk to help the elementary school students at James B. Edwards.
Sure. All right, so noted. Maybe we'll get a little update next month, too,
yes,
on that. Yes, ma'am.
I'll be happy.
While we're doing updates on projects, even though it's not our project per se, it certainly affects our area. It was in the paper and, of course, the online site for 41 that the county decided to defer, I think, 1 month. And send the engineers back to the drawing board to try to come up with something that was a little bit more compatible with Phillips community, and also to help address more openly both Horlbeck Creek and the Colonnade turning left out of their neighborhoods. And what I was wondering is, first of all, do we know, are they going to try to vote on this? Is there something that's going to be presented, Brad, do you know, in December, or are we looking even further down the road? Because I certainly have a lot of folks in my area asking.
Ms. Lanning, my sense is that there will be nothing presented in December. That it's my understanding the team is still working on those items that is being discussed as far as looking for ways for the least amount of impact on the Phillips community. And I'm not necessarily speaking for the county, but I think that it's going to be later than December.
Okay, so right now it's another to be continued with 41.
Yes. Hurry up and wait, right? All right, thank you very much. Thank you, staff. Is there anything else from the committee? All right, if not, we have completed our agenda and we will stand adjourned. Okay.